You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to a new episode of Delirious Nomads, brought to you by Blacklight Media Records, a weekly podcast hosted by yours truly, celebrity chef Chris Santos. I hate calling myself that. And underground metal connoisseur Matt Bacon, who loves being called that. This is your new favorite podcast for all things heavy metal, as well as breakdowns of your favorite combat sports and riffing on some food talk every week with very special guests from across the globe.
Hello and welcome to the Delirious Nomads podcast, the Blacklight Media podcast hosted by myself, Matt Bacon, and normally Chris Santos, who was not able to make it today. But who was able to make it today is my good friend, Chris Strappo, New York City sound engineer, plays in The Weapon, played in a bunch of really cool punk bands, long history of the metal scene. How are you, Chris?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm, questioning the existence of God.
I hear you.
I always like to have like really weird comebacks on this show. People ask me how I am. I feel like that's like a good little like ongoing bit. I hope somebody listening understood that was a bit.
Definitely. That's awesome.
You have a really interesting story.
Yeah, it's been a weird journey. It's been a lot of just kind of things that wouldn't have... It just never really revealed themselves until kind of like right before they happened. But then you kind of look back and you see, oh, okay, so there was definitely some hints here and there. But I kind of started just touring and playing in this metal band called Thy Will Be Done back in 2007. And that's kind of what, led me into just the myriad of people I know and, the friends that I've made and, the connections that I've made and what have you. And the audio sound engineer stuff kind of came in later on as like a, that was definitely like one of those things that was kind of always there that I didn't really pay enough attention to. But as a songwriter, I was always recording myself. And even as a young musician, back when I was a teenager and stuff, I was always recording myself. And just, I was inspired as a songwriter by the actual process of putting things to tape and layering things and seeing how things kind of came together. So I feel like the audio thing was always kind of in the background as like a way for me to be creative as a songwriter, but it slowly became something that I couldn't stop doing. And I was putting more focus into, the science of it, if you will, and all that stuff. But yeah, it's been a weird journey, but it's landed me now. I'm in, I just turned 38 and I've got a lot of awesome bands and artists that I've recorded and worked with. And I record audiobooks and just play a little music here and there. And
so with Thy Will Be Done, that kind of turns into you playing in Aggressive Dogs, which is like sort of a legendary Japanese punk band.
Correct.
How did that happen? Because that's like insane because I feel like a lot of those Japanese bands are pretty insular. So for them to hire an American to come play in their band must have been pretty wild.
During the Thy Will Be Done years, we had become friends with the Aggressive Dogs. We did like, I think, three different tours over there. We did our first one back in 2008.
Oh, wow. That was like before you had a record out, right?
Yeah, it was right after the first record came out. And so we had the first tour in 08, which I think was about 2 weeks. And we did some dates with Killswitch during that tour. They did, I think they came over and did like 3 days. And we jumped on with them for those shows. And then kind of bounced back into this tour with the Dogs, and we just hit it off. Like, it was a hookup through we were on Jamie Josta's label Stillborn back in the day, and he'd been friends with Uzi and the Aggressive Dogs guys for a while. So he had kind of hooked us up with the tour, and then we just kind of took it from there. And when I left Thy Will Be Done, it was a brief pause in the music world for me. And I just got an email one day from Uzi. He had kind of gotten wind that I'd left Thy Will Be Done. So he was asking what I was planning on doing with my musical career. And I was like, nothing yet. I'm like kind of just taking a breather, and, you know, I'm going to get married and do all this, like, you know, family kind of shit or whatever. And then fast forward to like early 2015, I decided to join those guys for their first tour celebrating their 30-year anniversary as a band. So there was just this slew of crazy shows. Like we were playing like all this music that they've written in the last like 10 years. Then we were playing stuff that, you know, was older, songs that are older than I am, you know. So it was a really, really cool experience. And I got to, you know, really just get closer with Uzi and the guys. And you know, he's gone through some member changes here and there, but a lot of the dudes that are in the band now have been with him for, you know, 15 years or so. It's just, yeah, it's just like a super cool experience. And Japan is just such a great place to visit anyways, but it is a absolutely amazing and inspiring place to play music, because it's just, everybody there is just so amazing at their instruments, and they're so dedicated to what they do, but they're still very uplifting and inspiring. And they, you know, will tell you up and down how amazing you are, and you're like, what are you talking about? You just like played circles around me. I wish I could do half the shit you just did. You know, so it's like they're just it's a very respectful culture. And I think one of my favorite parts of it was just how open the shows were, as far as, you know, what kinds of bands you'd play with. You know, we would play shows with punk bands and hardcore bands, and, you know, there might be like a black metal band that opened, or there would be a two-piece piano thing, or a hip-hop guy comes out with an acoustic guitarist, and, you know, it was just, but it would all be just so amazing. Just such a great place. And, you know, the scene over there is, no matter what genre, really, all the scenes are just very, they're dedicated to their, you know, their favorite bands and their favorite artists. And they show up early, they stay for everybody, they don't film the fucking show, you know what I mean? So it's actually like really just, it's a breath of fresh air if you know, you just play in the States, or you play in, you know, just Europe and whatever. So it's quite a different place, and very, very fun.
So kind of that sort of comes to an end, and from there you sort of become an audio engineer,
I guess. I started to really get serious about audio kind of while, like, after I joined the Dogs, and I'd actually spent a fair amount of time in the studio with them over there. And it was just another thing that just kind of kept sticking at me. It was so fun to be in the studio with those guys over there, and to be just seeing it done through, you know, a different workflow. And just, and it was also really cool too, because Uzi has his own label, and I would kind of join him in the studio here and there just to like help him like produce bands and stuff and throw out ideas. So I was getting like this kind of nonchalant, you know, little executive producer role here and there with Uzi, and it was just super fun, and it just kind of like pushed that a little bit further. But on top of all that too, I was really getting into recording my own music again, and like putting out solo music. I had a lot of post-rock stuff that I was putting out at the time, and I was putting out these instrumental metal records with, you know, just all these shreddy guitars and stuff. So and all this stuff I was just doing on my own, and just trying to stay active and stay, you know, I guess relevant to some degree. But all that, it just made me more interested in the process of audio, and it made me more curious about how to get it to sound the way my favorite records sound and all this stuff. And so I just got way more serious about that, and I just started kind of playing less and doing a lot less. And yeah, I think around 2017, I kind of just stepped off of the road, so to speak, and just kind of focused all of my energy into compositions and mixing and mastering them to the best of my ability. But then that just continued to, I guess, make me want to just get better at it and actually get serious about it, and, you know, start to go to studios and try to shadow and try to ask people and, you know, go to school and just, you know, just to get a little more serious about it. And so, yeah, it just, yeah, by 2018, I think I pretty much decided that was my next step. And that was my trajectory at that point. So
that's really cool. And then talk to me about this audiobook stuff you've been doing, 'cause that's been kind of nifty, you were saying.
Yeah, that was a kind of a random freelance opportunity that came my way earlier this year that I didn't really have any sort of qualms with it. It sounded interesting. It sounded really fun. And from what I could gather, it was just like a really kind of sidestep from, you know, what I've been doing normally. And, you know, it's so much different than, you know, just putting a microphone on a guitar amp or multiple microphones on a guitar amp and just letting it rip and, you know, moving things around a little bit here and there. And especially when it comes to heavy music, there's a lot that you can kind of just, I don't know, there's detail, but there's just not the kind of detail that you would get in, say, an audiobook where you're basically recording a person talking with an extremely sensitive condenser microphone where you basically have to listen for, you know, stomach growls and, you know, like all these little things. If someone happens to be wearing a t-shirt or something that has a weird fabric or something that makes weird noises when they move, you have to be listening for all that stuff. Plus you're also marking a script and making sure that everything's word perfect. So it's a very, very detailed and intricate part of audio that is, from what I've gathered so far in the short time I've been doing it, it's been a really great way to kind of like sharpen the ear a bit and, you know, apply some of the techniques that are used in that application to music and just seeing the positive results. It's just been a really cool learning experience, and it's a great consistent line of work. So, and I work for a great company up in Hell's Kitchen called John Marshall Media. It's super classic. Like, I think they started some like 25, almost 30 years ago. And they're like one of the first to do it, like with books on tape and stuff like that. So the people that are coming through that studio, some of the best of the best in audiobooks, and some of the best actors and actresses that you can think of. So it's a cool little side niche thing of audio that I've been able to do for the last probably like 7 or 8 months. So it's been fun.
No, it's definitely one of those things that are like really interesting to think about, because everyone kind of understands that has to exist, but they don't like, I've never like thought about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you first mentioned it to me, I was like, oh, that's kind of nifty.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's been keeping you busy, and that kept you busy in particular over the pandemic, was your band with Jesse Leach of Killswitch Engage, The Weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about that for a minute. How did that happen? What's going on there?
So that was funny that we touched on the Japanese thing, because that was, you know, that was kind of a key component to starting a punk band in general. Like, I've known Jesse Leach for, geez, going on almost probably 15 years now. Like, I've known him since my Thy Will Be Done days, and great dude, love that guy. But I was well into my journey with the dogs in Japan, and once we started doing all these old songs from, you know, the early to mid 80s, I was so moved by these just crazy fast, just pissed off, you know, 3-4 chord bangers that were like 2 minutes long at the most, you know. So it kind of worked out. Like, I was playing all these songs with the dogs, and it just kind of inspired me to kind of write some, because I hadn't really wrote a lot of music like that. I listened to it for years, but I'd never really played or wrote it. But I feel like it was something that was always kind of there, you know, especially just being heavily invested in hardcore and always having like a hint of hardcore in my metal writing, if you will. And it just kind of happened to be the right time where Jesse had mentioned wanting to do some sort of a punk band. And I sent him a couple of, I just kind of peeled off a couple of demos, and I was like, I don't know, is this something you'd be into? And he was like, oh shit, let's do it. And he put the rest of the band together with our good friend Andy Mass, who actually owns the studio that I do most of my producing out of. And then Josh Mylak from the tech world of Killswitch. I'm sure if anybody would see him, they'd recognize him from somewhere. But so yeah, we put the rest of the band together, and we started putting music together. And yeah, it was just kind of, the only thing we didn't have was like one of our parents' garages to be jamming in. It was like such a like young old school DIY vibe that we just like,
that's awesome.
It was so fun. You know, we were making our own logos and doing our own, you know, it just did everything in house. It was just so much fun. We felt like we were kids again. There was no method. There was no like, there was nothing that was off the table. It was just like, does this sound fun? Does this sound exciting? Let's just do it. Let's just, you know, to see how it goes. And like, we had a lot of bands and styles kind of in mind, but it just, you know, kind of took on its own life form after a while. And it was, it was a lot of fun. And we were all slated to play our first gigs, and then the good old pandemic hit and shut everything down on us. So, but we were able to put out our first record right into the pandemic, and we decided to keep it strictly just on Bandcamp for the first like month, so we could just generate as much money as possible. And we were just giving it to venues. Like, I think we gave a bunch of money to St. Vitus and Kingsland. I think we gave some money to a couple places in Jersey. Like, we just tried to give back, because we knew like venues were just like all of a sudden just there was nothing, you know. It's like, what do you do if you don't have like a restaurant, or if something else going on at your place? You're basically floating at this point. So we were like, let's just throw a bunch of money at, you know, at the venues, hopefully, like, because we were still just like, it was so early in the pandemic, nobody knew it was going to be this drawn out thing that it wound up being, but we were hoping that like every little bit.
Yeah, remember that? Remember like when we were all like, "Ah, it'll be 6 weeks. This sucks, but I'm tough."
Yeah, it was like when the honeymoon phase of the shutdown happened. I remember that day. I was just like, "All right, this isn't fucking fun anymore." Like, you know, they're just sitting at home. Everybody was like streaming shows, and it was just like, this is actually kind of like cozy. Like, you know, it just, yeah. I remember the day that just stopped being fun and stopped being like, it's just like, all right, we've had enough. Let's go. Let's call it a day on this. But yeah, obviously it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, no, I definitely. So. Yeah. I think about that shit where I'm like, I can tough it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's like, he could not, in fact, tough it out.
No, not at all.
Anyway, cool. And do you think something's going to happen with the weapon going forward?
As of now, I'm not really sure. I think you know how the Killswitch camp is and how busy they are. And both Josh and Jesse have been on the road for the last month and some change. And I think there's some more stuff coming up. So both Andy and I are super busy. We either are working together at his studio, or we're working separately on different things. And then, of course, all the stuff that I've got going on. Otherwise, I'm working on a mix this morning before we started chatting. So it's never ending, really. So like, I think it's kind of been like a, we'll get something going when we've got more time. And I think at the end of the day, like we've all kind of decided this was more of like a side project more than anything else. And
sure,
I think when the time's right, the time will be right. So until then, we'll just be we'll be doing our own things. We still chat all the time. We have, you know, the group text, the group Instagram chat. We've got, you know, you know, we're always sending each other stupid shit and, you know, skate videos and all that fun stuff. So
for sure.
Definitely. So
that's cool. That's really cool. I'm glad, like, it's cool to have a project like that, that kind of keeps you young, for lack of a better term.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I think at some point, I know there'll be an itch where we're going to want to get back together and then hopefully actually play our first official gig. Cause we had a lot of people asking, we had a lot of people that wanted to put us on shows, and, you know, there was just like a lot of questions. What's going on? When's this happening? When are you putting this out? What's going on? So, but yeah, hopefully someday we'll be able to really kind of put a little more time into it and actually get out and show the world the weapon. So we'll see.
I really look forward to that day. Is there anything else we should be looking out for from you?
I'm working with some really great bands, and there's been some cool stuff that has come out in the last, I guess, like couple months. I've had a few singles, and I'm working with some other bands. I'm working with anything from like, you know, I just finished a mix last week for this metal kind of, I guess, kind of like, I don't know. It's you're like more of a genre guy than I am. I can't really differentiate. I'm just like, it's a little black metal-y vocal-wise, but the music's more like, I don't know, kind of slam. I don't know. It's a little over the place, but there's some classic Vermont dudes I've known for a while, and
awesome.
So I just did a song for them, and then I've been working with this indie rock band from up in the Yonkers area called Wastewood. So they just put out a couple of singles, and they've got another, I think, EP that we did coming out soon. And then we're getting together, I think, the first part of November to record some more stuff. So yeah, that's where my output lies right now, is in other people's stuff, which I think is probably where I'm most invested anyways right now. I'm having so much fun just sitting with other people and putting my two cents in where it matters, and just trying to, you know, get the best product for other people. Cause I think that that's where I'm at right now. I think, you know, I still plug in my guitar and play from time to time, but I think I'm just a little more dedicated to helping others at this point.
I get it. It's like so much less stressful.
Oh yeah. That's for sure. I don't have to travel too far. I mean, I do miss the road, but you know, the idea of lugging amps into a venue, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I did a lot of it. Yeah. And I would probably do it again if the time was right and if it was the right situation, but you know.
I get it. I don't know. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
And please, guys, go check out Chris Trepo on Instagram. He does a lot of really good work. You know, not a lot of New England OGs cleaning up New York, but we have Chris, and that makes it okay.
I'm trying.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course, man. Cheers. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. So that was awesome. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening to Delirious Nomads, sponsored by Blacklight Media. We will be coming back at you next week with another awesome guest. Be sure to follow Blacklight Media on socials for new music and more. And above all, keep it heavy.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.